regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers in a fresh shrubs. Call me private label.
Welcome to episode 79 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
Tired, man. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
But, just pretty much going 100 miles an hour all day. This episode brought to y'all by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, check us out on the Fountain app, y'all, where you can tip a pimp. Remember, go over there and listen to all your podcasts on the Fountain app. And if you like, you can go ahead and tip us in sats.
People were cracking up when Jason said it in that last episode.
Oh, I imagine, dude. He had me cracking up because I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
All right, y'all, tip of the day. Don't buy seeds from anyone selling, and I quote, survival seeds. Son, what do you think one of the biggest reasons somebody ought to not buy them from there?
Well, it's the worst possible seed to plant at that time. If you haven't, if you've been growing a garden, you should be trying to plant those seeds instead of survival seeds. And you don't know really what you're getting. They're probably coated in something. I've seen some sold that were GMO, which makes no sense. And then you also have to wait, let's say the apocalypse starts today. If you plant survival seeds, if you're growing
snap! Yeah. You just jumped off, hand me those seeds, honey.
Yeah, like radishes. That's the fastest thing, or turnips or something like that. That's going to be the fastest crop you can grow. And that's going to be 30 to 60 days.
Yeah, you're going to be on an all turnip diet for 60 days.
You better get good at fasting.
Yeah, but, you just pointed all the reasons right there. And then also, if you wait until some calamity jumps off, and this is what you got to go with, negative, nephew. That's not how you roll. I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, you'd want to have your own stock of seeds put back. But a lot of people are getting into this. Here's why I'm saying don't go to these people to say, oh, we got your survival seeds. The whole notion of it just seemed out of whack to me, and I've always hated that. But now, if you're like our other sponsor where you're saying, okay, we have heirloom seeds.
Yeah.
That you can go ahead and start growing right now.
That have been tested and shown to be successful.
85%. I mean, the thing that gets me is that you see it on a lot of different podcasts out there that are in the, we'll call it alternative news, preparedness space, whatever the case may be. And then survival seeds are growing, coming out. You can't even get good seed companies, ones with good reputations, to send seeds through the mail that actually makes sense. So what we did today, what sparked that tip was today, I think that video is going to come out tomorrow. We basically planted a bunch of seeds from Heaven's Harvest. And supposedly they have an 85%
germination
rate. And we'll just see about that. I mean, before I go being a champion for these seeds, I want to see what they're going to do. Now, the food I know makes sense. The water filters make sense. And the food tastes as good as anybody else's. But I'm not going to give a full endorsement. And I told them that from the very beginning. I said, look, till I try these seeds, nephew, I'm not saying these are worth two dead flies. Now, the food, like I said, I mean, that's easy enough to try. I put that up there with all the other. I mean, there's some really, really good ones out there. And they are very expensive.
Yeah.
You can get them from places like REI, which you don't want to shop at anyway. And typically the ones that come in a regular food bucket or whatever the case may be is a bunch of beans and rice, stuff you could have been putting back anyway without being freeze dried.
Yeah.
So,
or drink mixes.
Yeah, you get tons of those. But yeah, when it comes down to these seeds, y'all, start getting them right now, preferably ones that work in your area. Or if you get something where it's an heirloom seed kit, they may not all be perfectly adapted that first year, but that's why you save seeds, because if you do it right, every year what you have should improve and it'd be better adapted to your soil. All right, get straight into farm news, y'all. So at the end of this week, Friday and Saturday, your mom and I are going to be at the Keeper of the Old Ways get together. It's going to be down. You'll have to look that one up, y'all. It almost completely slipped my radar. That one's going to be on March 30th and April 1st. So April Fools out there. And
speaking of April 1st, Asheville is having their LGBTQ plus whatever other letters they've added since then, they're having the festival on April 1st.
Get out of town. Yeah. Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned that, because yesterday I was coming back. I ran to the bakery to go pick up bread for the chickens. And as I'm coming back, I was tired, man. I stopped at that one coffee house by the river.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, every trans testicle this side of the Mississippi was, I told your mom, I said, I don't know what's going on right now, but every last one of them was there. And I'm talking like guys with full beards wearing dresses.
It would be hilarious to go up there with my Make Men Men Again shirt.
Well, man, I wish I had it on. I wish I had it on. I was sitting there thinking, okay, man, how did I wind up here? I just wanted coffee, man. I didn't need to be caught up in the middle of this freak show.
I'm not trying to get into a spiritual war.
Yeah,
just want coffee.
Well, believe me, I know Psalm 91 by heart, man. I was reciting it the whole time there. I'm not kidding about that part. I was like, dude, there were some very off balance people, and now I think maybe they're getting the jump on it. So you're telling me that's happening. Well, at least I won't be here for that. So we'll be down here in Dothan, Alabama.
Dothan,
Alabama. So that's like near Florida. And so we're going to go down there. I hear David Good's going to be there also. It's worth it just going to see and hear him. Always full of great information. And honestly, he's one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Him and his brother, when you get them together, Brian from Flannel Farms, when you get them together, it's
dude,
like,
you're going to get your laughing on.
There isn't a single serious conversation taking place after that.
No. It's like, when you got the two of them together, man, you got two comic geniuses.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there. I still laugh every time I think about David doing, it was like doing a country version of Bob Dylan. It was the funniest thing I ever heard, man. He's sitting there doing this, and I'm about ready to pee on myself. I'm laughing so hard. So anyway, David the Good's going to be there, and I think a number of others. So check him out at Keeper of the Old Ways. I wish I would have said something about it long before now, but like I said, it was one of those ones that just, I don't know how, but it nearly slipped me. And you think, I mean, I'm speaking at this thing. You think I would do a little better job of that.
Alabama.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here slipping, but I'm looking forward to it. Me and your mom will get away, get down there and check out things, and you'll be running the show back here. So as far as farm news, other farm news going on, man, I've been weed eating the side of this mountain, and I mean mountain. Got a lot of that silver grass and a bunch of other junk coming up through there. So this year I'm going to seed it, and I brought it down before. It's improved a little bit. A lot of junk trees up there, folks. Y'all don't have, I mean,
well,
we had junk trees almost touching the house when we first moved in.
I would love, so I made like a little weed eater attachment. If you take like an edger blade and then you chisel grind, I mean, in the rotation that would make sense, you chisel grind the blade and then you attach it to your weed eater. I wish that was a product we could sell to people. Granted, we can't because the liability would be through the roof. It is a little heavy.
Man, lady finds her husband out there catting around and then chops him up in a bedroom with one of them. I don't think so, man.
Now, that thing would be awesome to do, like to be able to sell, because it's a weed eater attachment that actually does what it, like, well, it's not advertised because it's not for sale. I made it. But it's something that actually cuts brush.
It does.
Like,
it does.
You see those little plastic fins that they put on with the little aluminum saw blades on them? They just get beat up anytime you come up against a sapling. That thing, you knock it up against a 2-inch sapling a couple times, and it'll chop it down.
See, Ben Holler had to do the same thing. He had to invent his own little thing to get through it, man. He showed me one time when I was down there, and I understand why he's not telling anybody, because honestly, man, this thing could kill somebody. I mean, it's cutting through some pretty sizable saplings, man, with this thing. And I'm like, okay, that's a little handy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, Ben sat there and rigged this thing up. And I think he's been pretty careful about maybe, you know, making sure he doesn't let anybody see this thing.
You can almost mulch the silver grass with this stuff. If you start, I was playing with it on the other hill over by the barn. You can, like, if you start up high and then work your way to the middle, then down low, you can almost mulch with it.
Yeah,
mulch it.
I mean, that stuff, I mean, it's definitely getting the job done. But I was over there, you know, on my bicycle today over there chasing up these mountains and everything. Well, speaking of that, part of what we're doing, folks, and this might be helpful to a number of you out there. We got woods that we're trying to remediate. Now, we got the boys or the Rams. they're up there in the woods in a different place from the females, and they're not going to link up until probably maybe the 1st of November or something like that. You know, barring an accident, that's how we intend for it to go down. Anyway, they're up in a place where it's not, I mean, it was basically a complete mess. Multiple rows everywhere. Of course, they eat that. But then there's not a whole lot. William cleared up some area in there, and we're going to try as best we can to maybe try to grow a little bit of grass up in there. So I'm letting the sheep, right before any rain, the boys that are up there, I'm letting them stomp in the seeds to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So they're over there, and of course we're putting down, you know, we're giving them hay up there because they need it. There's not a whole lot else outside of multi-floor rows and a little bit of ground, a little bit of green on the ground, and I mean little.
Yeah, and we need the carbon on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, so that's also a help. But that's one of the things we're doing there, make your animals work for you. Well, the chickens, they need a new fence, and so I ordered another Premier, the 48-inch Premier. Hopefully that thing gets in, man. They keep... Even though we clipped their wings, they realized, oh, I can still kind of hop over this thing.
One downside of Bielefelder so far, because it's the Bielefelders and that one black chicken that we have that keeps getting out.
All three black chickens, man. I'm sitting here thinking, man, it's some kind of prison break, dude. Every single day they're up here getting out.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be a problem before. I know they got plenty to eat. It's just, I don't know. May have to do a little bit of culling if this new fence doesn't handle it. So we got the 48-inch instead of the 42 from Premier One. And hopefully that'll get the job done. Typically, when you get a higher fence like that, they generally don't try. Now, if they do on this one, whoever gets over that fence this time, straight in the cook pot, you're going to go.
Other farm news. By the next episode, I will have completed the 75 hard, the first section.
Well, congratulations.
Tomorrow, ahead of time, son. Today is day 74, and tomorrow's day 75.
Well, so what are you going to do with that extra time now?
See, I don't know. I'm still going to do the list and stuff like that, like the power list. I'm still going to work out and stuff. I mean, I can't imagine not doing the stuff that's on that list now just as a habit. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, wait till you and Kendra do it. It's weird. It's a weird experience.
Well, it's supposed to be. I mean, when you've been doing something and you hit that level of accomplishment, well, you shouldn't. I mean, the whole thing was to build discipline in you.
Well, I will say the working out frequency will definitely decrease because, I mean, it's like kind of impossible to recover working out that much, I mean, without taking steroids.
Yeah.
So, like, and part of it is like, okay, as you go through this, you're going to get more and more tired and you still have to do your power list and everything else. So, like, the workout frequency will definitely go down.
I mean, that's definitely not having any days off. That part doesn't make sense. But I understand it's like Army training. You know, you go through any kind of special training like that, you're not going to get a break. So, right. And then, yeah, it's just kind of a gut check. And that's exactly what this thing is designed to do. But I think I have some hacks around some of it. Well, anyway, your mom was out there today putting comfrey in the Silva Pasture area. We're still doing that. All the crowns and everything. And y'all, look, we need to pray for these people getting whacked by this tornado. Now, I was there in Oklahoma during the May 3rd tornado. I was there when that thing was an F5.
I think that's my first memory, is driving to the mall.
Yeah, we drove into the doggone thing. We were living in a town called Mustang. Nobody in Oklahoma has a basement. For what reason, I still don't understand. Anyway, Gary England, who was the famous meteorologist back there on Channel 9, he's telling everybody, look, man, if you don't get underground, you're going to die. And so we're like, okay, where do we go underground? Well, we had to drive all the way to the other southwest side of Oklahoma City over to Crossroads Mall, and that's exactly where that thing aimed for. So we left where we were to drive into the doggone tornado, get underground, and I thought I was in downtown Baghdad. I thought that was the worst tornado damage. And having grown up in Oklahoma, you know, you see this sort of thing quite often. In my life, I thought I'd never seen anything as bad until my buddy Barrett sends this video of what happened down in Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
I said, man, it's like the thing stood still. And then news reports came out today that the thing was a mile wide or whatever, and practically stood still, because I'm like, I've never seen that kind of... I was there when the F5 went through Oklahoma City or more, I was there. I saw that up close and personal. And that had nothing on what I saw. It was like you saw trees intertwined. I mean, like the trees were literally twisted around the metal, twisted around the tree. I have never seen. Wow. I was like, how does this happen? I have never seen wreckage like that. But what I found even more astonishing is that somehow the very next day, how were all the streets cleared?
I don't know. I haven't seen much footage about like anything that's happened down in Mississippi.
Man,
I haven't seen like really much of anything anywhere.
Well, I guess it's only fitting before we go to Pastor Lon. Look, y'all, they're going to need our prayers down there because I'm not 100% convinced. In fact, you've heard me kind of talk about it before. Check out work of people like Dame Wigington or Angels Don't Play This Harp by Dr. Nick Begich. Or, you know, Operation Popeye in Vietnam. This is just off the top of my head, and I'm sure I could list a number of others, that they do have the ability in so many different ways to control this weather.
Saudi Arabia or the United yes, Arab UAE. Emirates. Yeah. They make it rain every week.
Yeah.
Because it's they like it and they got the money for it.
Yeah. So, and this is like right there, and there's one of the emails in here that are talking about, man, I can't believe it's so hard to get people to just look up. I have seen many a tornado. I mean, like right there, looked at it. I grew up there. And I have never seen wreckage like this. But for the life of me, I'm wondering, I was like, how did they get these streets that clear the very next day?
Huh.
It's like Barrett said, man, it almost seems as if they had people in place ready for it or something. It made no sense what I saw. But sadly, there's a whole lot of, you know, people lost their lives, people lost family, people lost everything. And y'all, we're going to all need to be praying for these folks. With that said, we'll go to Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got a couple of verses of scripture I want to share with you today. They're in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, a person won't change until they're ready to change. Every day there's messages that are preached, Bible studies that are conducted, and testimonies that are shared around the world. Yet people still refuse to respond to God. Instead of building their relationship with God Almighty, people give money to false prophets who tell them that God will bless them if they will just give them their money. You see, even though Jesus Christ allowed himself to be nailed on the cross for our sins over 2,000 years ago, things haven't changed much since then because we're still way too focused on the flesh.
Amen to all that.
Yeah.
Boy, that's one of my big pet peeves, man. These, what Steve Quayle calls what pukes in the pulpit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, send me the money. We'll send you this and that. And then you wonder why. I mean, there are people out there that can't stand Christians, and that's the reasons why.
Yeah. Look at those paid advertisements at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
see all
man.
Those like, send us money and we'll send you this rock from somewhere in Israel.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. Or I better not say it, dude. I almost got myself in trouble. Hey, y'all, before we get into the bad news, good news, remember EMP Shield. $50 off with promo code PERMA. Check out that micro. It is the cat's meow. Trying to get those guys to also come to that festival.
It's fo shizzle my nizzle. There's this lady who just recently got fired in Mississippi for saying that. It's like this old lady.
Oh,
on,
my
yeah.
goodness.
She just recently got fired for saying that. She was
what
like,
what did
this
that have to do
anchor.
With EMP Shield?
Because I don't know. It just, like, it's off the hook. You said that thing is off the hook. And I was thinking, that, yeah. Anyway, it just caught me off guard. Sorry, Dad.
That wasn't at all random. That had everything to do with what we're talking about.
You said it was off the hook, and then that lady saying, "Fo shizzle my nizzle," at me.
All right. So, yeah, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA on that one. All right, we'll get into the bad news, good news. Check this one out, y'all. California farmers lose billions as atmospheric river rainstorms continue. Okay, so, you know, and the quote is, we've lost everything. Well, it's almost on the heels of what we just talked about down in Mississippi. And it's basically raining cats and dogs in some of the most consequential places in California. But most of us forget that most of our produce, our nuts, all those crazy things come out of California. They grow like 50% of America's food.
It's also flooding in Yemen right now as well. Like insane floods.
Yeah. I'm not believing for a minute. Look, you can call me conspiracy theorist, and for once I'd love to be called a conspiracy theorist by someone who actually examined the information for themselves instead of just repeating what you heard somebody else say. Like I said, look at some of the stuff I talked about before, but here we are. California, it's like, okay, we got factories burning down. We got food, how many food facilities just, you know, busted? Chickens got all of a sudden, you know, this virus everywhere.
Train wrecks.
I mean, this is beyond coincidence to me. And then because it's weather, so many people have that knee-jerk reaction of saying, conspiracy theory, conspiracy. The second you bring up, hey, this, I'm like, the government admits it.
Well, it's just like what Pastor Lon just said. You can't convince anybody to change.
Well, that's a fact. I mean, no amount of evidence can shatter a faith consciously based on a lie. How many times have I talked about that?
Yeah.
But on the heels of that very thing, check this one out. I actually wanted to do this one the other day. Shrinking food stamp benefits for families mean yet another challenge for retails. Now, typically it's two good news for one bad, but I had to put this one in there because it kind of goes hand in hand with what we're just talking about. Shrinking food stamp benefits for families mean yet another challenge for retailers. So what this basically, in a nutshell, I'll just kind of encapsulate it. Basically, more than 41 million Americans receive funding for food through the federal program. Now, that was through this nonsensical COVID thing, right? Now, they're about to pull it back $95 a month per family. Now, let me tell you a little something about the food stamp system, y'all, because for a period of my life growing up, we were on it. You know the cool thing about food stamps as it stands from a government point of view is that they just make it just comfortable enough to where you never give any thought about escaping it. That's what it's designed to do. You're not going to live like the Rockefellers. Well, I guess some do. But at the end of the day, they give you just enough. And now with all this stuff going on, all these factories burning down, inflation through the roof, and now it's going to go back 95%. And I think they said the amount in this article of the number of people on welfare.
Not 95%, $95.
$95, yeah. The number of people, I want to say, for some reason I can't seem to find it, but it was like 72 million people in a country of 330 million, if the numbers are even accurate. 72 million are already, forgive my use of the words, food insecure?
Yeah, almost a third of the country. Well, those are just the ones on food stamps. Those aren't even including the ones that are off food stamps that are also food insecure.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, folks, I'm not in the bad news business. And of course, we always turn back around and give you good news. But really, this is dire stuff, y'all. And if you're listening to certain interviews out there, like Seth Holhouse just interviewed the guy from Webbot. Now, that would give you a little bit of pause if you check it out. The guy's name is Cliff High. Go check it out. I think you'll be glad you did. If nothing else, it's a very interesting interview, very interesting information. But it's also overlaying with people like Martin Armstrong, probably the best forecaster ever. And then the other guy who's another forecaster. All of them just happen to be saying the same thing, like, hold on to your hat. Hopefully these guys are wrong, but man, you got guys that usually bitterly disagree with one another, all kind of lining up at the same time, saying about the same thing, like, hold on to your hat.
Yeah.
Well, at a time where you got 72 million people, and all of a sudden, remember, there was a story a while back where the food stamps didn't work in a southern city. I can't remember what it was. And I think it didn't work for 24 hours. Those people turned that Walmart upside down. So what do you think happens if the worst happens, all right? All right, y'all. Good news. Yeah, I'm liking this one. So the court blocks this vaccine, man. The U.S. government, or U.S., I'm sorry, courts block Biden's COVID jab mandate for U.S. government workers. Well, too little, too late.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. Well, this is the good news segment, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's supposed to be. Well, what I'm saying is a lot of these people probably got it thinking, I got to do it to keep my job. okay, well, oh, my bad. You know, we were.
Well, it's good news for the people that held out and didn't, and now they can get basically all of that money that they were supposed to get while they were working back, hopefully.
I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not hopeful. But, I mean, I think a lot of people, like your Uncle Dion, I mean, he ended up quitting that job. They wanted him to get jabbed, and it's like, okay, well, he's like, well, what about my body, my choice? Yeah. So, yeah, they sent him packing too. So there's a whole lot of people that are just off. I mean, just out. It's just, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. So, all right, y'all, good news. We'll get on to the next one. Listen, did a video the other day, bare root trees at the Farm Connection. Go check them out. I mean, maybe if you're looking for any, we just told you a couple. Look, I don't get anything for this. They're not paying me for this. I get no kickbacks, no whatever for this. I know there's a lot of people out there needing bare root trees. And you can't find them. Or check this out. I went over there looking for seed potatoes for your mom today when I was in town at the electrical supply house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I am not kidding. A 1-quart pot with a fig in it was $32.
Wow.
A quart pot.
Wow. Well, it'll be a tenth of the price here in a couple of months.
Well, we'll see about that. But, I mean, the point being is that...
Look, the Farm Connection is also accepting, like they just redid their website apparently to accept online orders and stuff like that. So there's that. You can have them, if you pay for shipping, then they'll send you trees and stuff.
Yeah, so if you can't find them or you're worried about paying a fortune, you know, I picked up a couple of plums there for like $6.95, which is actually a pretty good deal. Now they're small, but that's exactly what you want when it comes to a bare root tree. I told you before, don't be overimpressed by the height of a tree, because I guarantee, just like Subkoviak says, and I've seen it, that when you put that smaller tree in, you got a better chance of survivability. Also, a bare root's better. But honestly, the cost, son, I still can't believe what they were charging. That was a 1-quart pot for $32. They had a 1-gallon pot, some of them $100. Yeah. And people are in there buying this. So if you think that's your best option, y'all, it's not. That's why we call it the good news, bad news section. When we get back, y'all, straight into it. All right, y'all. Test, test. I don't even hear myself in here. I guess we are working. Test, test, test. Okay.
Yeah, it should be working.
All right. Well, I don't know what just happened there. I couldn't hear myself for a moment. All right, y'all, we're going to get straight into it. Before we do, remember, Farm Where You Live, April 15th, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right. Also, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA on all the stuff. We even talked about what they were doing earlier. All right, y'all, so let's just get right into it, and that's going to be the topic. And there's a couple of reasons I'm bringing this up, and it's kind of a derivation of a previous topic that we did. And I'm going to ask, you know, and this is to the people that are in apartments, because a lot of those folks as of late have been hitting up saying, well, I just don't have any land, right? And I'm like, man, didn't we cover this already?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of, okay, well, we got a few more places that we haven't listed before. Okay. As I'm sitting here, I'm not going to say exactly what it was because it's part of a business idea that we're working on, and I can't tell everybody right now because somebody will be trying to snatch it out from under us. But is there any reason you need to own that land? We just were looking. We drove by, what, two properties the other day, completely vacant, and they were commercial properties. Nobody's on it. Nobody's doing anything. Could you go out there and start yourself a market garden out there?
You definitely could. I mean, you can definitely put like raised beds on top of asphalt or concrete or anything like that.
I'm talking
especially
around
if it's a parking lot.
I'm talking out back.
Yeah, you could do it there too if you wanted to.
I'm saying you don't even have to do that. I mean, there is so much vacant land. Think of how many businesses went out during COVID and then not long after COVID where you had, oh yeah, I love this one. All the little lefties that said, no, we're just going to wear masks out of abundance of caution. we're just going to do it. We're going to continue, even though the mandates are up, which weren't legal anyway. We're just going to keep doing it. And then guess what? They all go out of business. Well, you know what? That's a vacant lot. That's a vacant store. That's a vacant whatever. Nobody's using it. Do you have a problem requisitioning this? How about your neighbors? Curtis Stone style.
Yeah, you could do that. There's a guy in Asheville doing it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he like market gardening people's front yards and stuff?
Yeah, I think Sunil Patel, I think he's one of the ones also doing that too. He might be very well doing that. But what I'm saying is it's hard to, when you're living in an apartment, I understand you have limited space, you have limited this, you have limited that. Once you kind of exploit what you currently have, you could even make it a hobby. I was sitting there joking, and I think it was with you when we were we were going somewhere yesterday. I said, you know what? What would keep anybody from growing beans up these stop signs?
Oh, yeah, that was me. No, nothing. I mean, that's the perfect trellis. The government put it in for you. Or what about guardrails? What if you started growing grapes on guardrails?
Oh, man, I think if they weren't spraying. Probably get sprayed. Yeah, if they weren't spraying, I would have thought that would be a great idea. Yeah, they're going to spray out there. Of course, that's awful. But think about all these other structures. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, there's a stop sign. There's a yield sign. What about those places? Have some beans go up there. It'd probably be pretty cool to look at.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it would definitely get cut down whenever they bring those big mowers through.
Maybe not off a stop sign. They ain't cutting off no stop sign.
I don't know. They clear off the stop sign somehow. Maybe somebody's out there weed eating them after.
Not around here, they don't. I mean, every single sign on the road, I mean, there's signs that are completely covered. But think about something that could vine, something that could climb. I mean, you could have, I was telling you, I was like, man, how cool would it be to sit there? If they didn't put creosote on some of those telephone poles, I was thinking, well, why not have things climb up it?
Yeah, that would work as well.
I mean, we use nitrogen fixing trees in our own place, and we talked about it in a video we made today, where we're using them as a means to run tomatoes up there. Yep. We've done it with beans as well. In fact, it almost became a problem last year because I put cowpea on there, and it grew 12 feet in the air up some of those trees out there.
Yeah, started taking some of the newer ones down potentially.
Yeah.
And it got a little heavy.
Yeah, it got away from me, no doubt about that. But back to the topic at hand, folks, I can't even believe, I mean, reach out to businesses. Okay, I'm gonna go back a little bit when we first started this channel and I was doing the permaculture at work. Now, this is for the people that are new to this podcast. I basically was working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I worked 2.5 hours away from my farm. And so I had a fifth wheel out there literally on the job. So I basically went to them, you know, got them on board. It was not hard to do. Got with the guys out there and said, look, you're not doing anything. It's a construction job, man. How about let me run some, you know, make a food forest out here. Now it was a manufacturing kind of facility, but it was more, you know, union electrician kind of work. I got them to give me that, essentially. So I'm out there growing food in between working 12-hour days, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And it's not like you get a break from the heat down there.
Right.
I'm spending my lunch and breaks and everything else watering things. So when they saw I was serious, I kind of threw out there, hey, what if I brought in some chickens? Yeah, go for it. So in my spare time, which, you know, working a 12-hour day and then what little time I have off, I worked on this chicken tractor every single night, maybe 2 hours at a time. And I did this over and over and over. And all of a sudden I got it built, had the chickens ordered, got them outside on that job. But here it is. I'm saying all this to say, not only was everybody paying attention that I had chickens on the doggone job out there, the parole office around the back that was located right there next door to where we were had another 2 acres out there. And they're like, hey, what can you do with this place? They're coming to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have so many commercial buildings out there that have spots like that place where we go to get ice cream in town.
Or even West End Bakery. Like, they have that raised bed in their outdoor patio area. Yeah. If you went up to a business like that and said, hey, I'll take care of all your landscaping for free. I just get to keep the food. You get to grow your food in their raised beds. And they don't have to worry about it because they're probably not going to do it and they're going to have to probably pay somebody to do it.
There's already that giant fig in that one raised bed.
Yeah.
So it could be something like that. Or, you know, a parole office. They were so jazzed up with what I did, and I was working it out. Had we not left, I'd have had sheep and cows and everything, pigs, everything right there at that job. Had it all approved. So the only limitation to any of this is your imagination. Okay, we did a video last year where I'm out gorilla gardening. Guy comes up to me, says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm Billy. I'm out here. I'm basically doing some gorilla gardening." He says, "Okay." He, you know, asks about what I do and how to make it, you know, if there's something I can do elsewhere. And I'm like, "Yeah, man." And I'm like, "Basically, who is this dude?" He says, "Well, basically, I own all this property." So I'm like, "Sorry, man. I thought I was on the easement." So anyhow, he and I get to talking. And before it was said and done, he right there on the spot, without even knowing anything about me outside of the conversation we were just having, basically gave me this whole bank, which might have been about a half acre, and then told me that he had acres and acres and acres all through the Asheville area that he owns, and I would have been able to farm.
Yeah.
So this is somebody, I mean, I'm providing example after example. You think you got to own the land, but people like Joel Salatin and Greg Judy Proof, it ain't a matter of who owns the land, it's who controls it.
Or what about the community center up the road there? There's that bank by the creek.
There you go.
You could literally plant that and then bring a bucket over there and water everything you need to with that creek.
Yeah, you could do that, but depending on where these folks are that are listening, you got to look at what resources are around you, because I guarantee, I don't care where you are. When I was recently in the Arizona desert, I'm in the Sonoran desert, and I'm sitting here coming up with ways in which I could do some pretty clever things if I wanted to. It wasn't that hard. There was all the roof runoff. I mean, it all just goes away, and I'm thinking, okay, what if somebody were to just take it right off this little structure right here and then put it into a swale, dump it out? I mean, there's so many things you could possibly do. It's just nobody, very few people are thinking, okay, this is where I am. What can I do to get out of it? So when I'm getting these letters from people that are saying, "Look, man, I live in an apartment. I can't wait to homestead." No, I don't want to hear that, because I was homesteading, living in a fifth wheel on a job that was 2.5 hours away from my house. And it ain't the first time I've ever done it. So it can be done. Just quit limiting yourself to any of the all those reasons in your head. You got those two different voices, right?
That's what it is, though. It's not the like inability to find any place to do it. It's the like not pulling the trigger. That's what it is. And it's most likely probably the shyness of like, what if somebody comes and approaches me? Or, that's probably the reservation behind doing it.
Or how about the, hey, I'm not going to ask. This is a vacant building. Nobody's doing anything. I'm going to go over here and do it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an old school, you know, they did whatever. I mean, there are so many different options all the way around us. It's just a matter of doing it. And honestly, I was raising animals on a job, on a construction job.
There are some things you shouldn't have to ask permission for. And that's one of them. Being able to grow food on land that is abandoned, that is harming nobody. It's better, like, especially if you're using these techniques, it's bettering the location. And like, it's harming nobody. It's only a benefit.
Well, I remember Saste in Kansas City. That's exactly what they were doing. They were just requisitioning these old yards that were in the hood. And that's how they started. So it was one yard, then another. And they're like, okay, we're going to go with this until we get kicked off.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was doing the same thing in California, in Sacramento, I want to say. And then, of course, they sent a bulldozer in to go knock out this community garden they were working on. I mean, it's just absolutely senseless. A lot of this nonsense that's going on with some of this.
Asheville, they banned that community garden in the only hood section in Asheville. They banned the community garden there.
Oh, yeah. What was the reason for that?
The owners or the investors in that property or whatever didn't want that to happen.
Well, that's their property then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I get it, but also, like, you're going to have to come stop me from doing it? Like, that's where, like, civil disobedience. Like, very peaceful to plant in a garden.
Well, I'm not going to mess with anybody's if somebody's private property and they say, "Look, dude, you can't do it here," I'm going to totally respect it. Because I would want to be respected in that situation. But when it's federal land, the commons, whatever the case may be, or a place that is just falling down around itself. Well, you don't care about this building falling around. You clearly don't care about the land either. So yeah. Let me go ahead and I'll handle that.
So yeah, if you look at it, it is a betterment of that area right there. If you look at it, it's like the commons area of the apartment area, the apartment section. It's the commons area of that, and they were trying to do a community garden there. It's not like these are like well kept. It's the only hood section in Asheville, and there's other parts of Asheville that are run down. So it's like,
that's the property. That's up to the property owner. I'm totally with that. I'm all about that personal property. But I'm surprised they didn't lean on them enough to do. There may have been more to that than, I mean, for all we know, dude, they could have had 2-story ganja out there. I mean,
that's possible too.
Yeah. All right. When we get back, y'all, Q&A.
He gon' save us. Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No way, no. I answer to no one, start calling me Nado. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer. I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie.
All right. So back to the Q&A, y'all. So glad everybody is able to check this out. So right off the bat, son, do you want to kick it off or you want me?
Yeah, I got one from Societus on the Fountain app. He says, I got to say, I think you missed a real opportunity with the name of this episode with the studio and guest. This is the one with Jason. You could have called this episode Pimpception, Pimp Squared, because it's the Permaculture Is My Passion podcasting in my place.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, we got one chemtrail report. This is basically coming from Justin, and in a nutshell, not.
Is that a new segment, chemtrail report?
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of these,
yeah,
man.
That's what
ever
I'm
since
saying.
We talked about it, I mean, you would not believe how many emails I get of people literally sending me pictures of tic-tac-toe in the sky. And you can't even get John Q. Citizen. It's one. You want to know who killed Kennedy when you can't even look up there and see there. Okay, that is not a vapor trail. It disperses. It makes everything gray. That is not it. Well, anyway, he said I had quite enough hearing all the denial from the flack from the supposedly quote educated people who can't be bothered to look up in the sky. And then he sends me a few references here. But yeah, I mean, sure enough, there's a whole lot of people out there sending a lot of stuff like that.
I got another one from Strider47. Great interview. Awesome to see these guys making good decisions at their age. Also, I'm digging the new logo. Hashtag tip a pimp. Hashtag catch Jack. Hashtag men. And that's in reference to the one with Barrett's kids.
Oh, yeah.
The apprenticeship to business and ownership in a year.
Yeah, I can't wait. They're sending something in the mail from their business, and I can't wait to show it on this show. Actually, it should be maybe here by tomorrow. We'll see.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Here it is. We got one from Kevin. He says, another question. I have a big section in my yard, 12 inches of wood chips. Okay, he says, I have a big covered section in my yard, just basically 12 inches of wood chips. I notice this stuff has a fungus on it. Any ideas?
No. Absolutely not.
Actually, bro, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing, but I'm not even about to guess what mushroom or fungus is popping up.
Yeah, it could be anything, but typically, just keep in mind, fungus, I mean, I know there's a whole lot of bad press about fungi, but it's very important. Yeah. And it's the mouth of the forest. It really is. It's also the internet of the forest. And so no wonder the powers that shouldn't be malign a fungus so much.
In the supply line of the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it does so, so much out there.
I got one from Outback Gardens. Love listening to you guys. Keep up the great work. Hashtag tip a pimp.
Bam. Yeah, man, I'm still laughing about Jason when he said tip a pimp.
Yeah,
dude, well, he just came out of nowhere with that. Dude.
There's literally a comment with a timestamp on our YouTube channel, which is the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where it's the timestamp of Jason saying tip a pimp, and it's like the laughing emoji.
Okay, we got one. Adam says, I can't go through all of it, but he's saying, is there a point when adding too much organic content in the soil becomes excessive or hinders crop production? And he sent another one where it's a picture of what he's got going on there. Now, I know nobody else can see that. But, you want at least, I mean, like to doc, like people like Dr. Elaine Ingham are going to tell you, you need at least 3%. I don't know if there's an upper level to that. I mean, because you can grow straight up in compost.
Yeah, but that also doesn't mean like add everything to the surface all at right. once either. Like for example, if you do sheet mulching and you add like 3 feet of material, well, the area like where the ground meets the new material that you added, that's going to go anaerobic, and that's going to be counterproductive to what you're trying to do.
Well, it depends on, like he's talking about, you know, if you just throw a bunch of compost out there. Remember, at the end of the day, you want to be trying to improve soil. You want to be breaking down, and folks, the stuff I'm learning as of late is going to blow your mind once I fully understand it myself. And everything we thought we knew about just about everything as it pertains to soil science is probably going to be turned up on its head here before too long.
Would it make sense, would the statement, like, don't worry about putting nutrients in the soil, worry about facilitating life in the soil. Does that make sense?
Okay, that's a better way of doing it. Yeah. I think, in fact, son, I think that's the perfect way of saying it. I wouldn't worry so much. Your number one chief concern has got to be to improve the life of the soil, because that is what is creating the chemicals that they test for in the soil. And people like Johnson Sue of the Johnson Sue Bioreactor basically shows that there is no correlation between NPK. Now, this is something that just knocked me on my, you know, knocked me right on the floor when you look at some of his work. And some of it seems rather unimpeachable. So we're realizing that it's not, and it's certainly not just NPK. There's a lot more than just these handful of chemicals out there or elements. We're realizing that it's the life that breaks down the clay, the loam, the sand. It's the life in the soil that breaks, that extracts everything you need out of that and makes your soil wonderful. So that's really what you want to try to do is, and part of it also is what we just discussed a moment ago, is fungus.
Yeah.
Is bringing the right dog to the hunt. You know, fungus, bacteria, nematodes, arthropods, all that stuff. That's exactly what we want to make sure of.
Got one. This one is from YouTube, and this is from the video you did with Jason. Hey guys, I've been looking for a diagram or tutorial to explain how to set up and move animals across the land with electric netting. I've seen plenty of tutorials showing how to do it with a ton of nets, but no one doing it with only 2 or 4. Might be a good video for you guys. The Premier One starter kits only come with 2 pig nets. How does one move pigs with only 2 nets? Thanks.
Well, what you do, okay, I'll see if I can describe this, because part of what we do...
Well, the pigs specifically, we have a video on. And it's, I think it's literally called moving pigs in the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've done that with 2 nets, but you can even do it with 1 if you're smart about it. Okay. Imagine, man, I'm going to try to do this in such a way to where it makes sense. Imagine you have 1 or 2 net. Okay. Let's just say it's 164-foot net. Now that's typically going to be for your chickens. Your other animals aren't going to be as long as that. Let's say it's a, well, we'll just say it's 100-foot and you got a couple of, you got a few sheep in there, okay?
Talk about pigs, because I think he's specifically moving pigs.
Well, it doesn't even matter. What you do is you take a corner of that fence and you fold it in on itself to where you're basically, imagine the number 6 or a 9. You enclose them within that little circle. You move the fence that's relevant and then re-pull it around. Now, you're not going to move it the entire... You may overlap a little bit on your previous ground. That's a way of doing it. It's not the most efficient way, but it can be done. But as far as trying to do a video on that, I think you said it, son. We really have done that.
The pigs are the easiest ones, though, as well,
right?
Because you can feed them and move the net around them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Make sure they're a little bit hungry.
Yep.
You feed them. You spread it out where they're not just going to be able to gobble it up and then chase it down. And then literally you do have quite a bit of time before you have to get back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, like with pigs, I think that's probably the easiest one. Just, and that's if you're not having them on a free feed schedule.
Yeah.
Because that won't work. If you are going to do that, remove the food maybe the day before you move or something like that. I'm not sure how you would work that, but we have strict feeding with our pigs.
Or even if you had a feeder, like you said, maybe take it out the day before, put it in the area you want them to go. It really all depends on every situation, but every single animal, it's usually not too difficult to outsmart them. It's just some of this technology you'll have to invent yourself. Okay, Ryan says, what are your rules of thumb for how long meat should stay in the freezer? You know, there's all kinds of people out there telling you how long it should be. I'll be honest with you, Ryan. I don't have a rule of thumb on that. I mean, I've eaten some meat that was 3 years old. I remember talking to a guy I went salmon fishing with years ago. He was eating meat that was 6 years old. He said it tasted as good as the day he caught it. So.
That's about right.
I mean.
I think it depends on how you package it, really.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to leave it in there too long anyway. Every time I process something, I put the date on there until your mom forgets to write it on there when she gets tired.
I got a comment from the YouTube channel, episode 77. This is the Farm Where You Live episode. This is from Lazsis. I'm not sure. I think this was the financial prepper who talked about his food 401k, his tool 401k, his animal 401k, his land 401k, etc. A good perspective on spending money on real investments.
Yeah, no argument there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you got to, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but nobody ever thinks about food insurance. They got insurance for everything else, but no food insurance. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cindy Dame, she's been with us for a long, long time. She sent this video, and I can't describe it, y'all. All I can do is describe it. It's her husband, his little rig that he came up with for skinning. And it's pretty doggone handy, son. I'm going to have to show it to you.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last episode.
Yeah, she actually sent it to me this time, and that thing is fantastic. I'll have to show it to you when we get off.
Okay.
But basically, it's like this thing where you can adjust it depending on whether he's doing a deer. Man, this thing almost looks like some like medieval torture device.
It probably was at one point.
Yeah, probably some derivation of it was, but I got to say, this thing was absolutely fantastic the way he built it. I mean,
ask him if he went to the torture museum at the Renaissance Festival in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Got the idea.
Yeah, somebody probably did.
I got one from Lynn Jasmine 3216. Good show. I'm finally getting bees, thinking of putting them in zone 2 where they can have afternoon shade and access to water. Would that be the correct zone?
Depends on where you live too.
It also depends on how comfortable you are with bees, because they're going to come visit you
quite often.
And I mean, we have our bees in technically zone 2 because it's an easy access point. And I think you should, because you need, like, honey is heavy to carry back. So you want it easy, like by an easy access point, or where you can put it in a vehicle or something like that.
Man, I don't know the density of honey, but I swear it's got to be close to gold, man.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just good night.
Yeah.
Man, those things will wear you down, let me tell you.
But also, I don't know where you live, but the afternoon shade part, you usually want your bees in full sun because the pests don't like sun.
Yeah, but that's why I'm reticent to give any advice on bees, because, number one, I'm not an expert. Your mom is probably the resident expert.
Yeah.
And for every one person telling you one thing to do with bees, there's 10 others telling you to do the very opposite.
I would ask your local beekeepers.
Every county, it seems, has a beekeepers association, and they are so excited about getting new blood into the mix.
Yep.
And they will take you under their wing. I don't know what it is about beekeepers, but they love to make more beekeepers. And, you know, your mom got so much out of it too. And of course we get it now, man, because honey's, that stuff is something else. And it's only going to get better and better out here. Got one from Alexis, and I think this is going to be the one for the night, but she's asking about consultations. And I basically wrote to her, hey, anybody need consultations, go check out my man, Eric Sider. Okay.
There's a link down below.
Is he still?
Yep. Yeah, every episode he's linked down below.
All right. So if you need consultations or a ballin' t-shirt, go check out my man Eric. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.